I was asked if I had a song on my heart, and I did. And we just sang that song. So let's read Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 36. We'll begin reading with verse 1. Psalm 36. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to be good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He sitteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy praises. For with thee is the fountain of life, and thy life shall we see life. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of the proud come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen, that are cast down, and shall not be able to survive. And then to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, chapter 2, beginning with verse 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Let's say to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together this morning to consider your word and to consider your faithfulness to each one of us. And Lord, we are quick to remind ourselves that without you, without that anointing for both speaking and hearing, nothing can be accomplished of any eternal value. So we bow before you and praise you and thank you for the grace that you give us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'd like to begin by saying that the brothers and sisters in Roman Catholic send their love, greetings from everyone. Now I know what it's like to stand before the great congregation. But when I look around, I see sin, and I see love in your heart. And just like the saints in the Roman Catholic, we're all needy people. The old hymn writer said, standing in the need of prayer. So it's good to be here, and we appreciate all that we have received from Richmond over the years, particularly the conference, the brothers who have been faithful to come down and visit with us and bring us the Word of God, and most importantly, for your prayers. So we thank you very much. In the fellowship, particularly in recent times, we have been very encouraged by the faithfulness of God towards our young people. And if you bear with me just a minute, I'd like to tell you what some of our young people are doing. It's a real encouragement for us. Some of you, I think, have heard this. Amy Hawkins is in Peru now. She's with missionaries Bert and Pauline Elliott. If you all know about the Elliott in Peru. She's going to be there all summer, and we've gotten some emails, and she's called, and she's just doing very well, and we're very pleased that Amy has this opportunity. Joseph Laval is going to Russia this summer on a short-term mission. My son Adam is out of Camp Rowan. He's a counselor. He just finished his first week. Daniel Hawkins is working at Camp Rowan. He graduated from college, and he's on the permanent staff out there. And my oldest son, Matthew, and his wife, Natalie, are now in Cuba with Ben and June Hubert. They've been there for 1 week. They've got one more week to go. We've heard from them. They got two customs okay. Some of their bags were stuck. But anyway, it's kind of a long story there. But we're real pleased for that opportunity. And then I wanted to mention our foreign exchange students that we had 2 years ago, Philip Artman. We had an opportunity to visit him in Germany a couple of weeks ago. We were over there for about a week and a half. And when Philip was with us, he fit into the family, he fit into the fellowship, and he didn't know the Lord. And but when we left, we just knew that the Lord was going to do things in his life. And he is. Philip is going to an evangelical assembly in Berlin. We visited with his family. His family's not saved. They're not going with him. But we're really encouraged with what the Lord is doing in Philip's life. So I mention these things just to say that God is faithful. We can trust him in our own lives. We can trust him for our young people. So, and it's all by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. While we were in Germany, we had to visit in Austria. While we were down there, we spent one night in Austria. We saw this beautiful double rainbow. And I left a picture of it back here on the table. You might want to take a look at it. But it was such a blessing to be reminded of God's faithfulness in seeing that rainbow when we were in Austria. So this morning, I would like to share along the lines of the faithfulness of God. First, to me personally, I'd like to share a little bit of my personal testimony, and then talk a little bit more about the faithfulness of God towards his people. I've known the Lord for a number of years. I was saved when I was 32. And I can't thank the Lord enough for the fact that I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was saved at an early age in his teens. And they're godly folks, not perfect, but godly people. And Dad, I have 7 brothers and sisters. Dad knew how to raise young people. He was firm, but he was fair. And we learned a healthy respect for authority in our home. I can't ever remember hearing my dad and mom quarrel for just a few times, and they quickly made up. So I just thank the Lord for growing up in a Christian home. Now, what happened to get me to a place where the Lord could deal in my heart? I was 32 years old. I didn't know the Lord. There was no peace, no real purpose in my life. I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what. Well, the Lord engineered a chain of events which drew me to himself. I ended up in a hospital for a week. Thought I was dying, did some praying, but went back to my old ways. Now, we were in a church, in the Episcopal church, and we went to church most Sundays, but The Lord wasn't real in my life. We had a living Bible in the home that I'd ordered through, this is a Billy Graham TK edition, and it sat around. But for some reason, well, I know it's the reason, it's the Lord drawing me, I started reading this Bible. And in the back, there's a section which outlines God's plan of salvation. So I started looking up the verses in my Bible, in this New Testament. And the Lord was, and I didn't really know what was happening, but the Lord was drawing me to His Word. And the more I read, the more I wanted to read. And I went through a period of a couple of weeks, almost in kind of a daze. And I know Bonnie was concerned for me, but I was at peace, but I just didn't know what was going on. So I was, one Saturday, I was in the house by myself, and I was reading, and all of a sudden it just became clear. I knew that I was lost. I knew that I was a sinner, separated from God. And I knew what I had to do. I got down on my knees and asked the Lord to come into my life. And He did. And all those years, up until now, I've never doubted that the Lord was real. He did something in my heart, did something in my life. And I praise Him for that. Something else happened that, when I think back on it, it's just amazing. But just a few weeks after that, a couple of brothers who I'd met, I'd heard about and talked with them, they gave me two books. They gave me the Normal Christian Life by Washington Lee, and they gave me a copy of the Normal Christian Test Life. And I just devoured those two books and just tried to take all of it in. But the Lord gave me just an understanding in those early times of the church. And a vision, although it was weak and limited, of His church. And I praise Him for that. I came to God about that time. We knew the family moved to Connecticut. And we were up there for 2 years. And I was searching. I would go anywhere. I got involved with the Way International for a month or so. The Mormons came by and I invited them in. I saw a lot of things I liked in the Mormon church. In fact, one of the elders, one of the Mormon elders was Orrin Hatch's son, one of the Hatch's sons. So we visited the Mormon church. And, but, you know, Bonnie was praying. She wasn't comfortable at all with this. But the Lord was faithful to preserve me and keep me out of any error. So after those 3 years, three wonderful years, we moved to Roanoke Rapids. And the first person that someone, not the first person I met, but the first person in the church that I met was Brother Tony Hawkins. Just incredible. And Tony and I have been just co-laborers for the last 20 years. And I really love Brother Tony. So, again, the faithfulness of God is just amazing. So I'm very, very thankful as I stand here before you today for all of the Lord's blessings, particularly my wife, my dear wife, and two sons. And we can trust the Lord. And I want to turn again to 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 2. And you read verses 11 through 13. Now, I haven't always been faithful. Sin problems, unbelief, selfishness. But the Lord is faithful. And it says here that if we believe not, this is verse 13 of chapter 2, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. So when we sin, when we're slow to obey, when we're faithless, The Lord Jesus is faithful. He is absolutely faithful and trustworthy. This is the character of the God that we serve. God is faithful. His faithfulness towards us is not contingent on our faithfulness towards Him. It's an amazing thing. The grace of God. The amazing grace of God. And then we read Psalm 36. Let's turn to that again. Consider a few things here. Psalm 36. Now, this is one of two psalms written by David that begins with the title, The Psalm of David, the Servant of the Lord. And I think a lot of us know that that word in the Hebrew means slave or bondservant. So David was a bondservant of the Lord. And this is a title that God gave David. If you remember, in 2 Samuel, when Nathan spoke to David about God's desire to have a house, this is you, David, servant of the Lord, this title. Now, I believe when David wrote this, he had to be maybe up on a high place when we read the imagery here, when we consider this beautiful psalm. He was looking out, and one of the things he saw was just the wickedness that was all around him. And certainly today we can look around us and see the same condition in our country, around the world. We see a lifestyle where just anything goes. We see wickedness in high places. And it just, I know it just breaks the heart of God. And it should break our heart too. And should bring us to a place where we can intercede and pray for things around us. But David saw this. And then in verse 5, we read, Thy mercy, O Lord. And that's Thy loving kindness. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, is in heaven. And thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So we see a beautiful picture here of the provision, the full provision of God, His faithfulness, and this is what the Lord, this is the hope that the Lord desires to give us, His people, an understanding of His faithfulness. In verse 7, we read, How excellent is our loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wing. I think we get a picture there of God's covering for his people under the shadow of his wing. So God is good and he is faithful. We can trust and abide in him. We can count on his faithfulness towards us. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as your testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called under the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. So in the midst of all of the problems in the Corinthian church, the sin problem, the party spirit, all of the difficulties, Paul can begin by thanking God for these precious things. He reminded them that they came behind in no gift, that they were gifted of God to minister. And he reminded them that God is faithful. Even in the midst of their unfaithfulness, God is faithful. And in verse 8, we read, he shall also confirm you unto the end. This means that God would guarantee, would confirm unto the end, that they would be blameless in his presence when they return. It's a precious thing, brothers and sisters, to stand before God with an honest heart and know that you know the Lord, and to know that the Lord knows you, okay? And to even have a blameless heart, and not sinless perfection, but knowing that our sins are forgiven, knowing the faithfulness of the Word of God, and knowing that we're walking in a way that pleases the Lord. That's a blessed thing. And Paul knew that God was faithful. That's why he could write these things to the Corinthian church. It's such a beautiful thing to consider. And this assurance that he has is based upon the reality of God's covenant relationship with us. He is faithful. It's something we can trust in. And then in Hebrews, let's turn to chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. For verily, he, Jesus, took not on him the nature of angel, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation to the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to suffer them that are tempted. To Jesus, the seed of Abraham, the Son of Man, came and was tempted in every respect, just like we are, but he didn't sin. He didn't sin. And this qualified him to be that faithful high priest. And he could stand before God. And it says in God's word that he forever makes intercession for his people. So as our faithful high priest, he has reconciled us to a holy God. It's an amazing thing. And we see him as son, as a son over God's house. And we're exhorted to be faithful to the house of God. And we can rest in God's faithfulness towards us if we hold fast until the end. And then I'll close with reading one more verse or two from First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Verse 22. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, he will also do it. Faithful is he that calleth you, he will also do it. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I think we know in our hearts that we can rest in the faithfulness of God. The one who has called us, he's called us to purpose. He's shown us so many wonderful things in his word. And we can rest in knowing that he is faithful to the end as he has called us. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that we receive from your word. We thank you for this opportunity to share with one another. Father, we know that we can trust in you. We can trust in that work that the Lord Jesus did on Calvary's cross. We just thank you and praise you in his precious name. Amen.